This is Stirring the Pot podcast and live radio show on KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today along with my trusted, sturdy co-host, Mr. Tom Conway. Hello, Tom.
How's it going, Miss Linda Nygaard?
Pretty good, actually. It's a good day. I couldn't get warm earlier, but I'm warm now.
I know. I've decided it's part of my golden years
of not being warm enough.
I used to pride myself on a 62 degree setting on my thermostat.
Not anymore.
68, baby.
Oh, you're way up
there. But we bring it down to 55 at night.
At night.
Yeah.
Okay, then you can be excused.
Sleep. You sleep cozy.
And along with us is our trusted engineer and sometimes color commentator.
Oh,
thank you.
Mr. Truman O'Brien.
The fabulous Truman.
Hi, Truman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is a nice afternoon, isn't it? Well, gosh, it seems like it's been a long time since we've been in the studio. You know, our second show of the month, we're the second show of the month. The first show of the month kind of got waylaid this month. So I've missed being in the studio.
It only counts when I'm here.
We won't tell Celine you said that.
I know. Oh, gosh, no. She's a doll. She's a total doll.
And she's a necessary component.
She is absolutely.
Yes. Hi, Celine.
I take it back.
Yeah. Well, and Heidi matters too.
Oh, and Heidi's a doll as well.
Yeah. So what you been doing since we've been gone?
Well, heck, I just got back from the post office.
I went to the post office yesterday. It's the first time in months that I've been, maybe a year that I've been to the post office.
I know. I went to, I do it online, which is the best invention ever is to print out your postage ahead of time, tape it to your parcel, and then just drop it off at the post office. But I have this tradition with my niece of sorts where, not my niece, she's not my niece of sorts, but it's a tradition of sorts where, and she's in her 40s, but we still do it, where I usually send a little care package. And so this time I was sending a goodie bag of food and stuff, things that are teetering on the precipice of junk food, but they're more elevated.
There's a little bit of
yogurt,
healthy
pretzels and McVitie's digestive cookies covered in chocolate.
Yum.
You know, some really classy stuff.
I like McVitie's.
Yeah. So I just got back, before I came over here, I just ran over there. But for the most part, I have been picking fruit. It's been a really good fruit year, and my orchard has come through.
Yeah, it sure has. I benefited from your quince tree.
Yeah. Do you want more apples? I got apples. More apples?
I could use some more apples.
Yeah, those wormy, nasty things people give you. So sometimes people
I know.
Well, they go, you want some apples, and you have to pause and go like, well, what kind of apples?
But you know, you can't tell when you look at them that they're wormy, really. You can't, because sometimes those little worms dig in around the stem.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I have found.
Do you
want
a tip?
Sure.
Okay. Well, this wasn't even planned, and we're giving more good information. At least in our climate, the two big pests for apples are coddling moth and the dreaded apple maggot.
Ew, don't even say that word.
I know. Well, and they both have two different points of entry in an apple.
Okay.
The coddling moth is usually up through where the flower was. So it's at the bottom of the apple where the little...
The little stickery thing is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looks like the old flower.
Yeah.
So they go up through there. But the good news is about a coddling moth, they tend to just eat the core and the seeds. So no loss to the...
Well, that must be the kind I get, because all you have to do, you cut it in half, and then there's that black, icky stuff
just in the center. Yeah.
And so you just scrape that out, and you have a beautiful apple.
But now the riggin' friggin' risen, resin, frazin, resin...
Don't say the word.
Apple maggot. those are nasty. In fact, they're so nasty they put signs on the highway saying no transportation of apples due to apple maggot quarantine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you're going northbound I-5, you'll see those signs.
Oh.
They want to bring them into Skagit Valley.
Yeah.
But those go in through them. Yeah, that's when you see a little hole on the side, the big
I've seen those
bulb
too, aside. Sure.
But what they do is they go through and they riddle it with trails of this thing.
Those little brown trails.
Exactly. Oh. And they tend to make the apple bitter and starchy, and they kind of ruin it, really.
Oh.
So
very interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
It is my pleasure.
Yeah. I could use some more apples. I haven't done anything with the quince yet. I will probably this next weekend because they last a long time.
Yeah, and if they don't, I have more.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. But my secret is I have kept them in my car because it's cold at night and I don't really have room in my fridge. Oh my heavens, does my car smell good.
It smells really good. I should do that because mine smells like bulldog farts right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, really, truly, I get in the car and it's like, oh, that fragrance, because quince are the most aromatic fruit I know.
They are.
As far as I can tell,
I think that's a good reason just to grow them because it's sort of a hassle to cook. You know, it's
not
a hassle.
I mean, they take some effort.
Yeah, and they're good, but mm-hmm. I don't know that they're not like a peach.
Oh, I don't know. When you make a quince ginger upside down cake.
Okay.
Oh, it's just heaven.
You know what? I take that back because I have a cake we're going to talk about, a polenta cake.
Yeah.
And it's upside down.
Yeah.
And I'll do it with quince.
And put some ginger in
it. Would you poach them first before you did
that?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And then you put them in
there. Yeah.
Okay.
And then put them in
there. We'll fill you in on what we're talking about in a minute.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. And I've also made a lot of quince chutney, which I love. Mm. And that's wonderful in the wintertime for a sandwich, which we'll talk about later, too.
Okay.
So you've been cooking anything interesting? Oh, I know what you made.
Yeah.
Today?
Oh, God. Yes. Quit staring at my waist. It's bigger than normal. I did this. Oh, you know who's walking by our window right now? Fabulous Yulia.
Hi.
Yulia saved my dog's life. I love her.
Yes.
She my dog got, when I first got him and he was wandering. Sorry, this is a little side note. But she just walked by our window.
I know.
And
she waved at us.
And I have to sing her praises. And she stopped in the middle and my dog got out and I didn't realize it.
Oh.
And he was sort of my brand new rescue
dog.
And he's sitting there in the middle of the street and I run down my lane figuring out he was here and now he's not. And she was hugging him in the middle of the street with her car blocking traffic behind her
so
and her hand
could...
out
blocking
traffic in front. Yeah. Yeah. So she's my Saint Yulia.
You know, this is Dog Island.
It is Dog Island.
For any of you who don't know us, it's
and you know, nobody
you
know what? This is one of the proudest moments of driving Vashonites
mm-hmm.
is nobody was honking. Nobody was revving their engine.
Yeah.
They let me get my dog. She got back in her car and off we went, you know.
Yeah. And people are, oh, good. I'm so glad the dog's okay.
And nobody rolled down the window and said, take care of your dog, you dumbass. Keep him home. Can you say dumbass on the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to. That's not my normal, you know.
Is the word is vernacular the word?
It's vernacular.
Yeah.
It's not in my lexicon.
May I comment on animals on Vashon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was here doing my radio show one morning about 9:30 and I looked out on Main Street, the main drag going down Vashon town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a deer walking down the middle of the street.
Oh, I know.
I mean, walking down the middle of the street. Yeah.
I've seen that, actually. You're not the only one. That, too.
Yeah. It's like the intro of that wonderful
Northern
TV
Exposure.
Show, Northern Exposure.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Like a moose, you know?
Okay, note, I have to tell you, for those of you who don't know Vashon Island, we are in off the coast of Washington, sort of, a little 20 minutes from Seattle on a ferry ride. Okay?
Well, I would say I'm not correcting you. Yeah, the coast people, because we'll get all sorts of remarks about
that. It's not the coast. We're in Puget Sound, the Salish Sea. I love saying that.
We are the heart of Puget Sound.
We are in the Salish Sea. Anyway, may I continue?
Well, if you're going to be accurate, sure.
Okay. So this happened recently, like within the last week. It was very early in the morning, like maybe 7. And I was on, I'd just gone up to get a cup of coffee at Cafe Luna. And I was heading back home. Well, it wasn't 7 because they weren't open. But anyway, it was early in the morning. And
holes in this story.
There was a deer on the crosswalk. I kid you not.
Oh.
I kid you not. He was crossing by Ruby Brink on the way over to the bank.
Smart
deer. And just walking on the crosswalk. So, you know, we have them trained here.
I think they go to night school. They really do.
They probably do. Anyway, I want to get back to what it was that you made morning.
Yeah. Well, you know, Linda and I were talking about, food, what else?
But favorite breakfast.
Because we're breakfast people.
Yeah.
You know, we just stare blankly at people who go like, oh, I never eat breakfast. And and what we hear is like, womp, 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 breakfast. That's what we hear. But so we challenge anyone who doesn't like breakfast. We'll make you love it.
Yeah, we will.
But there, I saw this recipe for yeasted pancakes, and in the picture, they were close to a mile high. I just thought, how the heck do you get, you know, such? I didn't know if they didn't necessarily look fluffy. They looked just thick.
But that's what they said on the title.
They said
fluffy.
That's right.
I was wondering if it was that Japanese fluffy pancake.
Yeah, no.
No, this is a different version.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that one, I think you whip egg whites with it.
I don't know. I've never made them.
So this one is really great because it is fluffy-ish, but it's sort of cakey-ish. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me actually like when you have really thick French toast, that sort of good bready quality to it. But it's a pancake where you use yeast, and most pancake recipes you don't use yeast.
Right.
What you do is you put warm buttermilk in yeast and flour and stir it, and then you cover it and leave it for an hour. And then you add this to flour and a mixture of eggs and oil. Mm-hmm. And then I left mine. I turned my oven up to 200 and I shut it off and put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of proofs it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it comes out. It's kind of bizarre. It's almost gelatinous in that.
I can see why it would be.
With an ice cream scoop, you dip it out and put it on. At least I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sits there and you're going like, okay, you can slide down a little bit here.
Did you have
not
to
a
mash
meatball.
It?
Did you have
to mash it?
I did a gentle
nudge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's sort of wonderfully gratifying because it's sort of kind of cakey, kind of French toasty, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
And would you call them fluffy? Or just thick?
I would call them richly fluffy. Because fluffy, you think of them as light.
Uh-huh.
I don't really see them as light.
Oh, they're not so light. That's kind of what I was thinking the word fluffy says.
They're
light.
Almost dense like when you make nut breads, like a cranberry bread or pumpkin bread.
Oh, like that.
They have that kind of that kind of texture. Mm-hmm. Banana bread, sort of. Yeah. There's a little bit more oomph to it.
Mm, I bet they're delicious with butter and maple syrup.
Yep, and a little spritz of sugar and cinnamon. We're having a hoedown here at the...
Truman's dancing in the background.
This is not river dance, Truman. You can't wear leotards in the studio. Oh gosh.
Oh dear.
River dance.
Okay.
So that's what I made, and they are worth making again.
And you would make them again. That was my next.
Yeah. Are we gonna? And we'll post this on our Facebook page. Is that what we do?
Yeah. You know, we have so many things to talk about today. I was thinking about that before I got here. How are we going to post all these recipes? And I think we can just post links.
Oh, yeah, I think, unless there's a paywall, then we have to post the
recipe. I mean, if there's
recipe.
A paywall, we'll do the recipe. But
and if someone would ever give me administrative capabilities, I could do it. I know you're trying.
I'm trying.
I was misrepresenting. She's tried to, but she keeps saying, I don't know why I can't give you access to.
It's really true. Do you know, I even had an expert come over and try to figure it out, and she can't figure it out.
Poor thing.
So we're gonna meet up again next week. And
I just don't want the burden of the work on you.
Oh, God, and it's so much work.
It is so much work.
Well, I made pancakes too because, because of our bargain.
Our little bargain about.
You make these and I'll make those.
Yeah.
Right?
We should have had a bargain that we don't eat so many of them.
Well, we should have had a bargain where we traded.
You know, we should have been there. What is wrong with us?
I don't know.
We could have been in our own test kitchens.
Yes, we could have. Well, we need
shared.
That. We need that. Let's start a fundraiser.
Okay.
A GoFundMe for our own test kitchen. Yeah. So I made, here's the word, fluffy. Pumpkin pancakes.
Yeah.
And fluffy's not what I'd use.
Either.
Yeah. I wouldn't say they were fluffy. I would say they were really good. But it is, it's a basic pancake recipe. There's no yeast. There's no yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's a basic, you know, it has spices, cinnamon and ginger. Mm-hmm. And does it have nutmeg? Yeah, a little nutmeg.
Are they called pumpkin spice pancakes?
No, they're not. And I wouldn't make them if they were.
You have standards.
I have my standards.
How was that Snicker bar?
I didn't eat any Snicker
bar. Oh, that's right. It was a Milky Way. Sorry, I'm telling tales out of school.
Okay.
We have a candy bin here for getting ready for Halloween. And we're trying to stay away from it.
Somebody snuck into it, though. Mm. I don't know who did that, but anyway, the thing with this is it too has buttermilk in it. It has 1.5 cups of buttermilk. And then you just use pumpkin puree, like out of a can, you know, like you're going to make a pumpkin pie. And you know what? They were really good. And I'm the person who has always eschewed pumpkin anything in the fall except pie. Uh-huh. It's sort of like pumpkin bread.
And what is that rooted in, your eschewing pumpkin?
You know, I don't know. I just don't know. I've just had this thing for...
Did you have one too many pumpkin spice lattes?
I've never had one.
I haven't either.
I've never had one, and somebody said I was really... I said that the other day, and somebody said I was really missing the boat. And maybe so, but I think they're like 1,000 calories each. I mean, there's so much sugar and so much cream.
I did look that up because there was an article about how they're trying to introduce them to Europe, and the Europeans aren't having it.
Oh.
But some countries are starting to accept them, but they had to take out half the sugar that they put in.
I would think. And I don't drink my coffee sweet.
Yeah.
So That's true. I wouldn't do that. I just don't think... Maybe I've had pumpkin flan that was good. Maybe
pumpkin. You know, the two things I think that pumpkin that I've had that I thought was, both of them were pretty exceptional, is I had a pumpkin ice cream that was crazy good. And then I also had a pumpkin cheesecake that was crazy good. I even thought that might take place of pumpkin pie sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I would try it. At this point in my life, I would try it.
Oh, we have to figure out what to make. You know, I've decided that Truman is so integral to our success.
Yes.
i.e. being on the air, that we need to bring Truman something each show.
Each show.
Yeah, we can alternate.
Yeah, we should.
You did it last time. Oh, that's right.
You realize my BMI is out of control. So, you know,
yeah, but a bite or two doesn't hurt.
Is that bowel movement incredible?
Incorporated.
That's kind of like that.
Oh, that's right. That's the weight thing, the weight height thing. Sorry.
Tom.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I took a low, I take a low shot.
You take a left sometimes when we're trying to go straight.
My apologies.
Anyway, so I want to go back to the pumpkin pancakes. The difficulty I had with them was that I felt like they were stickier than normal. You know how when you make your first pancake, it's kind of probably not the best one? The first one never works,
right? There's a reason it's a metaphor, yeah.
Yeah, and is it?
Yeah, the first pancake, you throw it out. It's usually what bitter divorcees say. It's like marriage is like the first pancake. You threw the first one out.
Speaking of divorce.
Usually piggish men, most likely.
I met somebody once at a party, and she said, "Oh, I've just met my next ex-husband." Okay, so this is not about that.
No.
So I would say don't be too hard on yourself if you make these pumpkin pancakes. And
Are they rubbery?
No, they're not rubbery at all. They're like a pancake, but they taste like pumpkin.
Cool.
They're not tough. They're not anything. There's nothing extraordinary about them except the flavor.
Okay.
And could be reminiscent of pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Now, what I did, because this is a treat that we used to have when I was a kid, my dad loved to pour cream on his pancakes and then the maple syrup.
Oh.
And so I put some cream on these and then the maple syrup. Oh, Lord, were they good.
That sounds like a good
plan. They were good. But, you know, it's just got ginger and all the pumpkin pie spices in it. And
my mom used to make pumpkin bread for her church. She'd make little mini loaves. And like at Thanksgiving, they would hand out, she'd make a gajillion of them. And then one year when she's like, you know, finally like at 92, she's there going, where's our pumpkin bread, Maxine?
Aww.
You know, was like, she was really great. She would make these loaves for a lot of people.
Oh, you know what? I lied.
What?
I do like pumpkin bread with cream cheese frosting.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about technique a little bit with regard to pancakes? Because there are two schools of thought.
Yeah.
One is when they're on the griddle and you watch them and you wonder if it's time to turn them. There's one school of thought says wait till the bubbles appear and the edges look a little done.
A little dry.
The other school of thought says wait till the bubbles burst and then turn it. Do you have a thing that you do?
For sure. Because you know, nobody likes a dry pancake.
Right. But nobody likes a wet one
that's
in
my
the
next
middle
t-shirt.
Either.
Oh, I don't know. I'll go for some gooey dough. where was I? I just threw myself
the
off.
Bubbles
the bubbles in the back. So the part of it too is how you treat the griddle.
Mm.
And this is because you can't rush your pan or your griddle.
No.
And
no,
what you do is you put it on medium. I usually do medium high heat and mm-hmm. then I
or a little bit under.
A little bit under, but mm-hmm. yeah, and I'll wipe it with a mm-hmm. oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'll just do like a little itty bitty teeny weeny
yeah.
and try it out, and then I'll turn it down to a medium low.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna take a while
mm-hmm.
because you get a more even
yeah.
you know, that picture
right.
perfect pancake. So you can't rush them.
But what I'm talking about
so
are
I
the
wait
bubbles.
For the edges to look no. I don't wait for the bubbles to pop, I wait for the edges to look dry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't pay any attention to the bubbles?
No, because some batters don't really do that.
I've never had a pancake that didn't bubble.
Really?
Yeah.
Must be a problem with how you stir it or something.
Oh, it's me with the problem, right?
Doi.
Got it. Okay. On to the next subject.
Sure.
We don't have to use... let's talk more a little bit yeah. more about what we've been baking, because I wanted to talk. I think I talked at one point on the show about Inga apple cake.
Oh,
did I?
Yeah.
I know I've told you about it, but I have a friend. And I told her I had all these apples from Christine Dom's. I mm-hmm. mean, I just had too many. She made me take billions of pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to do. And my friend said, well, I think I have a recipe you'd really like. And I said, okay. So she gave me a recipe that was her grandmother's in the 1800s. And her grandmother brought it from Norway.
Mm.
And it's a very easy recipe. In fact, you made it.
I
with
did.
With the Inga's apple cake. And I really do want to post this recipe.
Totally.
Because it's unbelievable.
Delightfully easy.
And I know there's no link to it because...
No, we have to.
It's from the 1800s. And the recipe was in handwriting that I got, a copy mm-hmm. of a handwritten recipe. So it was so much more apple than it was anything else.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little tiny bit of dough, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and butter and sugar and flour and baking powder.
And what's really great is when the person who gives you the recipe gives you all the ingredients. Because I started making it and I went, what the heck? This is, something's missing. This is not what it, and then I looked at the recipe again and I thought, well, there's got to be sugar in it. It's a cake. And so
I know.
Then I texted Linda and said, Linda, is there sugar in this? Well, yeah, of course there's sugar in it. I said, well, could you tell me how much?
And then, so I said, oh gosh, I guess I skipped that, you know. So, and you're not the only one. Somebody else called me on that.
Okay.
Anyway, so then Smarty Pants texts back and says, and what else did you leave out?
That's true. There are cooks like that.
There is that adage about some uh-huh. cooks will leave out an ingredient so
exactly.
you can never make it as good as theirs.
Yeah.
But I would, or as well as theirs. Well as good would work too.
My friend's granny used to do that. And
did
she did it for,
I
she did it for
myth.
She did it because she was a little mischievous imp.
Yeah.
You know, she would, you go like, it sort of tastes, yeah, this.
Go, yeah, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And yet you
do it.
Yeah. On the sly.
On the sly.
And pretend I didn't mean to.
She's putting her hands under her chin and looking innocent right now.
Mm-hmm. Blinking rapidly.
Batting your eyes.
So what else I want to talk about is kind of what we've been doing in general.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've been doing that I really want people to, please listen to me. I went to Rocky Horror Picture Show. That is put on by Vashon Repertory Theater. And I think it's one of the best productions I've ever seen on Vashon.
No picture. Rocky Horror Show. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, no picture. I can't say picture.
Correct.
It's called the Rocky Horror Show. It's not legally the other name. Anyway, it is so incredible. The music, the vocals, the set, the sound, the band, the costumes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so good. And if you live on Vashon or if you're in Seattle or Tacoma, it's really worth a trip over. It's showing again this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 10 p.m. performance on Halloween. And I'm pretty sure that that's going to be full of costumes and noise and dancing. They have a dance floor and they have a live band. The live band is under the direction of John Whalen. And he's so good to begin with.
It's really fun when you have live music.
I know. And you can see the musicians and they're really good. You know, they have horns and drums and it was really,
musicians were great. The singing, there's some really great voices.
I know, really beautiful voices. And we had some people on stage whom I recognized and some I didn't. Mm-hmm. So that was fun to see some new people.
Prepare yourself for a lot of Lycra.
Oh, a lot of Lycra.
Fishnets.
High heels. Big makeup. Yeah. It's really a hoot. It is just a hoot.
Yeah, it's totally entertaining.
Hot patootie. Yeah, it's great fun. So I just kind of want to put a plug in for Vashon Rep because they did a great job on this particular production. And I know they've worked so hard.
A lot of effort and love went into that.
The director is Brooke Osment, who, is a wonderful, wonderful person. And I can't believe the artistic vision that she held in this rendition. So I'm here to make the confession. I have not said this out loud yet, so as long as it's just you and me in the room,
sure.
I can tell this, right? I had never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay, pause for a gasp.
I had never seen it. And, they say in the beginning of it, if you're a virgin, this is what we're going to do. Uh-huh. And if you're an old hand, you know what we're going to do. And so they give this little instruction about how you're supposed to act and what you're supposed to say. And because it's, it's interactive. Well, I was just in store for the biggest surprise of my life.
Oh, that's
funny. It was really funny. And I never told anybody that I haven't seen it because, I was embarrassed.
Well, no, it's hard to believe that. The first, I was telling some friends after, during an intermission or something, I said, it's remarkable to me that I was 19 maybe? I was 1975 and it was, it just came out and I was a freshman in college and I saw the movie then. And 50 years later.
I know, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that just something? Well, anyway, so now we have true confessions and it's off the table.
So I took some rather conservative friends of mine to the stage play in downtown Seattle, Pioneer Square.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and they came out with their eyes kind of glazed over. Yeah.
Well, this one's certainly not X-rated.
No.
It's not exactly family friendly, and we say that it is not suitable for people under 18. But I think there were some there that were under. That's up to mom and dad, but it's just fabulous. I loved it. So back to food.
Yeah.
Another little plug I wanted to give was for the Vashon Food Bank. And on a little more serious note, we know that as of November 1st, food stamps are going to be no longer available to people. And that is affecting 41 million people in the United States who depend on food stamps to help them and their families.
And that is, just so I make sure I understand it correctly, like if it's called a SNAP.
SNAP.
And if you're on food stamps or that program, you can shop most any grocery store, right? Okay, just so I delineate it between that and like the food bank is a different
thing.
Entity. Okay.
That's a different thing. Yes, a totally different thing. When you're part of the program for SNAP, you have a little like a charge card, and the government loads it up every month for whatever the amount is. Sometimes it's $10, sometimes it's $480, depending on your family and your circumstances, and then you just go to the grocery store and you use that. And it, you have eligibility for certain things and not for others. Like it doesn't buy paper goods and it doesn't buy that kind of stuff, but it buys enough food for sustenance for your family. Meanwhile, the food bank, because of this, is going to really have to gear up because people don't have money right now. The people that depend on, their SNAP program.
Right, or the subsidy of for filling out what they don't have for food.
Right, exactly. So I spoke with Emily Scott this morning, who's the executive director of the food bank, and I asked her what she needs for the food bank. You know, the food bank, I had a fundraiser in, I think, September, and it was an excellent fundraiser. They raised a lot of money, but that money is designated for general fund. That's not for food. They have several different categories of their income, of course, like everybody else does. And
is that for building out their
buildings and maintenance and salaries and that kind of stuff? Different from food. Mm-hmm. Food is a separate entity of its own, I guess you could say. But right now, they are serving about 300 people every week just on Vashon.
Wow.
And so that's quite a bit. She said officially about 18 to 20% of the population. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, excuse me, when you look at that as a percentage, that's a high percentage of people.
Sure.
I mean, almost a quarter of the people, you know. And they have received a dramatic decrease in the free food that they're able to get, because the food bank relies on lots of free donations from different organizations who now are affected by the government programs and they don't have anything to give. Mm-hmm. And so she has a 40% decrease in that amount of food. Let's see. So anyway, there's a whole lot more statistics here, and I'm going to have...
So like people's choices are going to be more limited when you go to the food bank, you think, or...
Well, not if the food bank can help it.
Okay.
They want to keep, you always have a protein. There's always like three or four choices for protein. There's always lots of, you know, pasta and rice and beans and that kind of thing. And then on Vashon, we're fortunate enough that in the summertime, at least a lot of farmers donate.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. So the wintertime, it's not so much because nobody's gardening, you know. Mm-hmm. But she said that what they really need is money. I think people feel good when they have the tangible feeling of giving a can of something.
Right, like here's some peanut butter.
Giving them a food. Mm-hmm. And while that is very, it's a good thing to do, what the food bank needs is money, because they use that money to increase their buying value from places where they do purchase food from. And they can purchase so much more food if we give them cash. So... I'm going to get off my soapbox, but hunger is something that I'm passionate about, and nobody should be hungry in this world.
It's a real issue.
It's a real issue.
And I think it's a good point that you make with, I think there were times when small food banks, you know, wanted food donations, but those days, I think, you know, they won't turn them away. But,
no, they never turn them away.
The reality is... they probably have a distribution that's very specific,
they can
buy what they want to buy,
and what they know they need,
and it's available as opposed to sort of one offs, you know.
Right, and they have big buying power. Mm-hmm. If we help fund them, then they can buy more because their discounts are huge, and they know what they're doing.
They do such a good job.
Yeah, they really do, and especially here on Vashon. So. I would just encourage our local listeners and those of you who are out in the other parts of the world to donate money to your food bank. And really, $5, $20, $50 here and there, it all adds up. And you're helping families and children and little old ladies.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
That $5 and $25, if you can do that every month and make yourself a sustaining donor, that goes a long, long ways.
Well, it helps the budgeting process with the food bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, Truman. Thank you for that. So, anyway, I think that's all the sort of, I don't know, can't think of the word, but I think I don't have anything else to say on hurry up and do this of stuff.
Well, that was good. It was an important thing to bring up. Thanks. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, and thanks for listening to me. Truman. We have a big announcement to make, and I'd like you to help us.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. Wait, aren't you married?
Well, oh, Truman.
And she's not pregnant, so you can take Tylenol.
That's a shotgun wedding. That's right.
Yeah. She's very flirty lately.
Yeah, well, you know.
So anyway, I would like Truman to make this big announcement for us. Well, us as Stirring the Pot radio show.
Yeah. Well, here's what's happened. Linda came to me and she said, I'm not getting out to enough people. I want more people to hear my story. And I said, well, tough lady. What do you want? No, I didn't. So we talked about it, and we decided a podcast would be the way to go. And so the Voice of Ashan has its own channel on mm-hmm. Spotify. So we are now putting all of these shows on podcasts.
I just think that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. I do.
It's yeah. it was a pretty simple process that we went through. But to listen to the show on podcast, you simply go to, in fact, I would Google Spotify podcast. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, it will take you to their podcast area. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, you can do a search for Voice of Ashan. And if you put in Voice of Ashan, it will bring up all of the Voice of Ashan shows that are now on podcast. Some of them, Stirring the Pot, mm-hmm. The Brown Briefly, of which mm-hmm. I'm also a part. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going blank.
Well, suffice to say, there are other shows yes, under Voice of Ashan, yes, but you will only want to look for Stirring the Pot.
I was going to say, are there really other shows?
Yeah.
Is there another show on Voice of Ashan? I don't know.
No, but I would highly recommend just go to Spotify podcast and then look up Voice of Ashan, and you will find all of the Voice
Thank
of Ashan.
Thank you, Truman. You know, I'm eager to see how this all works out, because a friend of mine said to me not too long ago, you know, I haven't listened to your show in about 2 weeks, your last couple of shows, she said. And I said, well, why not? And she said, you know, it's on my phone, and I just forget. And it would be so much easier if it were a podcast, because mm-hmm. she listens to podcasts all the time. And I guess you can program it. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, we're a podcast now, which
Excellent.
I'm really quite excited about. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some easy takeout ideas for dinner.
Sure.
Tom, you had one.
Oh, yeah, I just saw it. I just saw it on the interwebs. You know, Camp Burton, mm-hmm. in the lovely village of Burton, they when things slow down as a camp, mm-hmm. they usually have I think it's a little fundraiser of sorts for the camp, where they provide the community with meals mm-hmm. To buy. And this one, I think it's the, let me look, I think it's November and December they're doing it. And it's basically a full-on salad dinner side
meal.
Mm-hmm. And it's for two, and it's $60. And
55.
I'm sorry, you're right. It's 55. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
55. And then they give you the menus for those dates through... I think it's like on the... Let me look it up for a second.
Okay. All right. In the meantime, I'll tell you about another real deal that I found, and that is Ramble House? Ramble?
Yeah. No, just Ramble Restaurant.
Just Ramble Restaurant, because she changed her name. Is Chef Leah, and she has always been a favorite, well, for a long time on Vashon. But I finally experienced their takeout, and she is a marvelous chef. I had takeout the other day, and it was marvelous. It was three courses, started with a beautiful beet salad with chèvre, fresh, you know, Vashon beets and chèvre. It was really good, with a beautiful dressing. And then the main was a seafood stew, which had clams and halibut, and I can't remember what other fish it had in it, but the broth was everything. The broth was so beautifully fragrant and lovely. It was almost flowery. It was gorgeous. And then dessert was a beautiful cake with wine poached pears on top of it. And that was $30.
Dang.
I mean, you know, a pizza's $25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so I think if you want a little special takeout, I would definitely check out Chef Leah's offerings.
Yeah, that they're pretty wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful people, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, they do have a dine-in menu as well.
Oh, for sure.
So you can go there and eat too.
And I do love that. I think if you're in the restaurant biz, you're always reinventing yourself, because mm-hmm. nowadays it's just mm-hmm. a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really great way to get good food.
Yeah.
At you know, what is a reasonable cost nowadays.
Well, it saves money for her too, because mm-hmm. she doesn't have to hire all the staff that would normally take care of that, mm-hmm. you know, and there's probably some other cost benefits to her.
Oh,
but it's definitely good for us.
I just wanted to tell you,
back to Camp Burton.
If you just go to campburton.com, you can order, they give you the list. It's on the November 3rd, 10th, 17th, and 24th, and December 1st and December 8th.
Okay, so and, once a week.
And if you look closely, you'll notice that it's Monday night.
It's Monday night. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's Monday night when we don't have a lot open on the island.
And when nobody wants to cook.
This is the one where if order now because the 8th of December is going to be sold out. Because
why?
It's prime rib, wedge salad Ooh. With ranch and golden rolls, garlic mashed potatoes, roasted vegetable medley, and coconut pudding with Thai basil
whip. You're kidding me.
Yeah. So,
for $55 for two people.
Two people, yeah. And like another one of the meals is baked salmon, main course. Another one is beef stroganoff.
Mm. I've heard good things about their food. I haven't tried it yet. But
I've been to a couple of events where they were they catered it, and it was lovely.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So I guess that's our little plug for easy weeknight stuff when you don't want to cook.
Yeah.
And not that there aren't other options.
On that same Monday, you go to Pasta Monday at Little Cup.
Oh, gosh, yes. I was talking with Jane there. In fact, I'd like to get her on the show and talking about, you know, they've got that little tiny kitchen that's, I mean.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, we're talking tiny. We're talking maybe 6 feet wide and maybe 10 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And they. I don't know how they do it, but it's just fabulous. I have been there, I have eaten it, and I have been very satisfied by it.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah. And that's Little Cup.
Uh-huh.
Did we say that?
We did.
I think you did.
The former Cafe Vino Olio.
Yeah. Well, Tom, you wanted to talk about a sandwich you invented, the quick snack sandwich.
This
was a private conversation.
This stems from my laziness. Like certain times where we have our standard go-tos, like when you don't feel like cooking, and if you live alone, it's easy. You just go like, I don't have to do too much.
Mm-mm. And I don't have to sit the table for sure.
So I was home alone. Well, with my fabulous, home alone. I was home alone and crying in my cold house with no lights. Stubbing my toes on the furniture. No, it wasn't that bad. It was a lovely evening, and I was hungry, but I didn't want to go out. And I looked inside my refrigerator, and I found. I said, "Oh God!" Back in the back there, I forgot an unopened tube of Braunschweiger, which is like liverwurst. Yeah. For those uninitiated,
it is the same thing, isn't it?
It is liverwurst. Yeah. And I do like it. You know?
I do too.
And like I said, it comes in like basically it looks like a small bologna that's not sliced, but it's spreadable. If you've never had it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and I had English muffins. So I toasted English muffins. And I had some chutney in the back of the fridge, and I put chutney on the bottom of the toasted English muffin. Then I smeared the Braunschweiger or the liverwurst on top of that, and then I had a pear, you know, because I have all this fruit, and I sliced the pears on top of it, and then just did a little itty bitty teeny weeny drizzle of balsamic vinegar.
Oh,
yeah, I had elevated the liverwurst sandwich.
That's quite a combination.
Yeah, it was
of things.
It was so good.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
I missed this part. Did you toast your English muffin?
Totally toasted.
Yeah, make it crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
and plus it can
good.
It can hold up to the smooshing in the liverwurst into into the crevices.
You know, liverwurst is a much maligned delicacy,
totally.
In my opinion, because I think we've said this before, if not on the radio, we've said it in private. If you took it out of that wrapper and put it in a pretty and mashed it up a little bit,
yes.
and put some capers on top of
I haven't
and put it in a fancy dish, people are going to say, "Ooh, it's just such good pate."
Trust me, they do.
I can tell you that we were talking about Ramble. She makes a mousse, a chicken liver mousse. And on the top of it, she serves pickled grapes, those little champagne grapes.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is the most amazing thing
What
ever.
A combination.
Yes. Yeah. And it just, well, those grapes just bring out the flavor of that, that mousse.
I'm going to remember that for next year when
you could put that on your Braunschweiger sandwich.
That's true. You could pickle some grapes.
We could even put some regular grapes. They don't even have to be pickled.
That's true.
But the something about the tartness of those pickled grapes really makes a difference. I wanted to tell you guys, too, I feel really badly. I was going to bring in a recipe. My wife has a recipe that's 60 years old. Mm-hmm. It's on brown parchment paper. I mean, it's probably...
It's on papyrus.
It's if it's scratched
in. I already love it.
Yeah. But it is smoked halibut chowder.
Ooh.
And our Debbie Qual, you know, Quality mm-hmm. Seafoods, has smoked halibut. But I'm telling you, this is the best chowder.
Why don't you email that recipe to me?
I could do that.
And then we'll
talk about the next show.
We could talk
like,
about
as far as like what's it in it and everything.
And
we might even make it.
Oh, that'd be good.
So good.
That'd be really good. I'd love to have that. Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great.
I was going to tell you that earlier and I forgot.
And you forgot. Well, that's okay.
It was probably the big announcement.
It was called on
your
the
heart was a flitter, a flutter.
Well, that sounds really good. You know, we were talking about easy meals and quick sandwiches mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And mine's not exactly my favorite go-to when I'm too lazy mm-hmm. is grilled cheese. But I like to use brie or Havarti and bacon and blackberry jam.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's just so good. You know, you still have to cook. I mean, you're still, you got to do some bacon. You know,
but I'm delighted to hear you say you had jam on it because I thought it was just a Conway thing. I didn't realize I thought everyone put jam on grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, see, I had never heard
and
of it.
And then the first time I went over to a friend's house where I go, would you have grape jelly? And they went, why? And I said, for my grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
They looked at me like I was an alien.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Well, I like berry jams and cranberries.
Yeah, fruit and
on
cheese.
On just about anything. Yeah. Well, on anything, really. Yeah. I can't eat a turkey sandwich without cranberries on it. But if I don't have any cranberries, a turkey sandwich with blueberry jam is really good and a lot of mayonnaise.
Oh, definitely on the
mayo.
Oh,
that's so good. So, yeah. And then Tom and I learned about sheet pan grilled cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was really a kick. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that, Tom?
Oh, sure. It's one of those, you know, you get food writers that need to come and reinvent something.
I know.
And this one, you're quite kind of scratching your head going, okay. But it sounds really good. You basically take like a nice sandwich bread, not like a, you know, as my friend Dave says, not a bread you can stand on.
Right. But, it's not going to cut your
it's
gums.
It's not going to cut your thumbs when
not
you slice
your thumbs.
It.
Oh, your gums.
Your gums. My hearing's going too. Like a nice sourdough sandwich mm-hmm. bread or something. And you put your bread on the on a cookie sheet. And then you put cheese on top of it and mm-hmm. then you broil it. But then when it bubbles and stuff, you take it out and then you put cheese on the pan and let the cheese melt. You scatter the cheese like mm-hmm. like a grated cheese and usually like a really nice cheese like a Gruyere.
Or a good sharp cheddar.
Gouda or something like that. Yeah, or a sharp cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you you put the uncheesed size back down on it,
right.
which and it sticks to it. So you have cheese on the outside, cheese on the inside. You mm-hmm. put the sandwich together and you just sort of flip them back and forth until you get a crispy, cheesy outside.
You know, to me, I was enticed, you know, to look at saw the picture, and then I started thinking about all the steps required to do that. I mean, it's like, what? Excuse me? And you know what? They only made 4 sandwiches.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're talking about feeding a crowd.
Or exactly.
Maybe, yeah, no. They only made 4 sandwiches.
You don't have to do that.
No.
All you have to do is put, when you do your grilled cheese sandwich in your pan, like you always do, mm-hmm. you just sprinkle some of your grated cheese on top. Of your sandwich.
Yeah.
And then when you flip it over, you got it.
Sure.
It sticks a little. And then when you flip it over, it cooks. So it makes like a crust.
That
a
crusty. I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm also, I also believe in reversing the butter mayonnaise thing. Like I put the butter on the inside.
No.
And the mayonnaise, I grill the mayonnaise.
Very radical. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's not really, but it makes the bread really crunchy.
Yeah.
Much
yeah.
crunchier than butter does.
Yeah, I've done that too. You know, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. But I don't know. Some of these recipes, it looked good. I mean, I would eat it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it's any easier than making individual grilled cheeses, because you can do two or three at a time in a big pan.
Totally.
And
I kind of put that under my shrug file. I go like shrug and go like, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. Maybe, you know, if you have some kids or something you want to do a project with. But project grilled cheese is not in my wheelhouse.
Now, plus, what if the people think you're just a sloppy cook?
Well, true.
You're supposed to put the cheese on the inside.
Yeah, but I had to laugh when I read the recipe because it said something like, scatter the cheese as if it were a doily.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me?
I know.
No. So beyond that, we wanted to talk a little bit about... Oh, you already talked about Braunschweiger.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you.
What?
You had a tip for me. For my audience members. I already knew about it, but it's okay.
Oh, the parchment papers.
The parchment.
Okay, so I was at my son and daughter-in-law's house the other day, and they were making, it was one of our first cold days, and it was a beautiful autumn day, but it was chilly. And it was a Sunday, and I went in to spend the night in Seattle with them, and they had a beautiful pot of chili going, and she makes the best turkey chili ever. So that was going, and, you know, there was some other stuff going. Anyway, we decided it was going to be a movie afternoon, and I said, can I bring apples and the fixings for a wonderful cake? I want to make you this Inga's apple cake, actually, because they hadn't had it. And, you know, sure, of course, bring that and bake. That's fine, you know. So I measured out everything ahead of time and put it in a little bag and took it over there so I didn't make a mess in her kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, it was fine. And I'm getting ready to make the cake, and I have my spring form. I said it again.
Put the whiskey down.
My spring porn fan.
Well, that's an interesting... What network is that on?
1-900. Anyway, so I'm getting ready to put the parchment paper in, and I'm struggling with it like you do with parchment paper. It's kind of hard to get it into the creases and make it lay flat, and then you've got all these jagged edges hanging over, and it's like, how, you know. And she said to me, my daughter-in-law said to me, do you want to know how to make that an easier job? And I kind of looked at her like, well, what? You know? And she said, wad it up. Just wad it up. And I thought, what are you talking about? So she said, let me show you. So I wadded it a little bit. And she came over and grabbed it away from me. And she just wadded it up till it was the size of a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then she opened it up and just placed it in there. And it fit exactly. So I was so surprised, and it worked fabulously, and that's a great hack. But when I was telling Tom the story about it, I was so amazed, wide-eyed, you know, like I'm going to share something. And he interrupted me halfway through, and he said, you crumble it up, don't you? He ruined my punchline.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. But you already knew. I think I was the last person to the party.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a really good trick.
I didn't know it either.
See, and I don't think it's necessarily intuitive. I really don't. I give you a break. It's not intuitive.
Well,
that
why
you
would
crumble.
It be intuitive?
No, it's. But for some reason, it was for me. But I'm not sure.
It was for you.
No, I just got fed up with trying to fold it.
You got angry.
I did, and I just crumbled it up, and I thought, I'll do this.
Yeah. You know, this is a season we were going to talk about cookbooks, and we're running out of time. But one thing I do want to talk about is winter squash, because here it is, and you had some ideas about winter squash. Do you remember what they were?
Well, sure. I think winter squash is so crazy versatile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can...
It's so good. I look forward to it all year.
Yeah, you can just, you know, cut slices of... And by winter squash, we mean, like, a lot of times, like, if you're you look in seed catalogs, or that's where you'll notice the difference. They'll have a category for winter squash and summer squash.
Mm-hmm.
And summer squash are the things that are very perishable, like a zucchini or a crookneck or a marrow. They're summer squash. Like if you pick them and a week later, you're not going to eat them.
Right.
But winter squash are wonderful in that they have a great storability. Like you could get a pumpkin in October and you could eat it in April if you kept it dry inside in relative, like your basement or a room that's like 50 or, you know, or my house 60. And so, so you can do a lot of things. I mean, one of the obvious things is, and not all winter squash are culinary, you know, like a lot, like the pumpkins you see, as jack-o'-lanterns are pretty much bred to be sort of a tasteless jack-o'-lantern. Yeah, don't cook with those.
Yeah, don't cook with those.
But right. So when you're looking, and if you're at a farmer's market or if you're at a grocery store, you want to you look for culinary, like butternut squash or
Hubbard's
acorn squash. There's a really beautiful French one called Galet de Saint.
Well, of course there
Galet
is.
Galet de Saint. And it has warts all over it. Pepe Le Pew.
Ew,
Pepe Le Pew
those.
Loves
those
it.
Those are so gross looking.
They're so good.
They're so good. Yeah.
And then Winter Luxury is a pumpkin that people use for pie. It's really well known for pie. It was a northeastern variety that's gotten a lot of popularity in home growers now.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
Where do we get these exotic pumpkins? Because really, at our grocery stores, we have acorn, we have some butternut.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of variety of squashes. And I wonder, is there a supplier somewhere where we can get... I look for a Hubbard squash, and those are hard to find. And
yeah.
They shouldn't be.
You have to go to like a... you really have to... It's funny. I think the market is what the market demands, and people, if they're what they're unfamiliar with, they don't buy. It's interesting.
I know that's true.
It's why I think the Red Delicious apple is still popular.
Yeah,
you know, where
yeah.
there are so many great apples, but it takes the public a while, the general consumer to get used to something like, you know, like Honeycrisp now is the darling of the apples,
right.
And Cosmic Crisp, and those are rightfully so.
They're good.
They're great
very
apples.
Good.
But like with the pumpkins, I found, yeah, if you go to just like a regular grocery store, you'll probably you can probably find a Hubbard at, you know, your higher end stores.
I don't know.
Or
sure find butternut.
You know, I was just in Port Townsend, and on the way to Port Townsend is my favorite farm stand.
Oh, I love that farm stand.
In Chimicum Farm Stand in Chimicum, Washington.
Mm-hmm. We went there once.
We did. Mm-hmm. We stood in front of the giant trout sculpture.
And we had our picture taken.
We did. And we ate like kings.
Yes, we did.
Never a problem for us. But anyway, that farmer's market, unbelievable.
Well, they would have it.
They had all sorts of squash, crazy squash.
And do you remember Pink Tractor Farm?
Yeah. They always had good squash.
Oh, he had that whole room full of all different kinds of squashes, different colors.
Langley,
I miss that.
You know, Langley, this, if you're still going on this week before Halloween, I'm sure they're still open in Maury. Langley Gardens, I'm sure, has some good squash.
Some different. That would be good.
And yeah. And I bet Pacific Crest has some good squash.
I haven't looked,
Forest
to tell
Garden
you the truth.
Farm.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
And Plum Forest Farm.
So... Do you have a favorite way to eat? Let's just pick a squash.
Oh, sure.
Just pick one.
I would say like one that's easily accessible, you know, like a butternut squash.
Mm-hmm.
And soup.
Soup? Yeah, you know.
Yeah, soup.
I have a recipe which I got on a silver palette for curried squash soup.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so, so good. And it's just the perfect... You know, squash for wintertime and a curry for the warmth. It's so good.
And they're real chameleons. You can do a lot to them. Like you could...
Yeah, you can.
Instead of using broth, you could use coconut milk as the solution to...
Mm-hmm.
But you basically roast them and then puree them or mash them. And yeah.
And you can add some chili oil.
Oh, chili oil.
Which is
pumpkin
good.
Seeds, sour cream, cream fraiche.
Yeah. It's versatile. I think my favorite regular kind of squash is acorn.
Oh yeah.
Just a regular little Danish squash cut in half, scooped out, butter and brown sugar, roast for an hour.
You can stuff them with rice
I've done that.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. That's
Oh, she's done that, sorry. Been there, done that. Oh geez, Tom. Yeah,
geez.
That's really original.
How plebeian.
Uh-huh.
No, what I meant was I have this insatiable sweet tooth, as you know.
That's why I like you.
So the brown sugar butter squash thing is my favorite.
Right
on. And I have liked stuffed squash with rice and sausage and peppers and that kind of thing. That's very good, too.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're just really, we've been talking too much because we're out of time again. And I think that, you know, next time we will have more time to talk about actual food because we've been talking a lot about other things as well as food, I think.
This is just our way for you to know that we're very well-rounded.
In more ways than one.
That's right.
Is that a pun? No, what do you call that? play on words. Truman, thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it. And listeners, thank you. And if you're listening to us on the podcast, we're just thrilled. Let us know.
Yeah. It's
Drop
really...
us a line on the website and let us know if you heard us on the podcast.
We really appreciate your time.
All righty. Bye-bye. See you next time.